From cave drawings to Homer's Odyssey to Orphan Black, the one constant of every society in every age is storytelling. What isn't constant is the form, which changes with culture, with time, and especially with technology. Recently, Bob checked out a museum exhibit about the biggest change in storytelling since the moving image.
Hi, can I have your name?
Hi, Paul Hand.
This is your final notice. Move or be moved.
That is the sound of a six-sided movie on something called the Google Cube. It's from an exhibit at the Museum of the Moving Image in Queens, New York, an exhibit titled Sensory Stories, which reimagines storytelling in the digital age, and it certainly is a feast for the senses. There's Birdly, a magical virtual reality experience that allows you to soar over the streets of New York City.
Oh, flap, I'm a bird. In order to get some altitude, I have to flap like an idiot. I'm soaring over Manhattan and headed for the MetLife building. This is nuts.
There's an interactive movie called Possibilia, which lets the viewer dictate the trajectory of a lover's quarrel.
I can't do this.
What kind of messed up logic makes it okay for us to take a stroll down Memory Lane? I can't do this!
Me neither. God, I don't.
And there's an installation called Darkroom Sex Game, which propels rhythmic synchrony using just sound and vibration until, well, just use your imagination.
So these are people tasting my spaghetti bolognese.
Yes.
The exhibit is the brainchild of Charlie Melcher, founder of the nonprofit called Future of Storytelling. He was a book packager who could see his ink-on-paper profession being gradually digital revolutionized out of existence, but was skeptical of technology's ability to satisfy the primal need for narrative. That is, until he published the app version of Al Gore's Inconvenient Truth and suddenly saw past analog.
I believe that it's just that we can't see the benefits of this digital age. We're just not imagining well enough right now all the great things that are going to come from this. And so I decided to switch from being somebody who was a little threatened by the changes taking place to getting totally on board and becoming an evangelist for them.
Sort of Billy Graham meets that guy from Geek Squad. Here's Melcher explaining that Google Cube, which projects a different scene from a movie depending on which face of the cube the viewer turns upright.
There are six threads to this story that all play simultaneously, each reflected on one of the faces of the cube. In that cube is a cell phone, and this uses the gyroscope of the cell phone to control through Bluetooth computer that's in that box that controls the projector.
That's not cool, man!
I feel like I'm in some futuristic movie made in 1976, imagining how we experience entertainment, right? That it's like Fahrenheit 451 or 1984 or Sleeper. I should be wearing some sort of white overalls and a funny helmet, should I not? Okay, maybe that was argumentative, but this wasn't my first rodeo. It wasn't even my first rodeo in Queens, where 51 years ago, I also got a peek into technology's vast promise.
Welcome to a journey into the future, a journey for everyone today into the everywhere of tomorrow.
That was from the 1964 World's Fair, where I glimpsed moon colonies, lasers felling trees through the rainforest, and the vast promise of the briny deep.
Now we can farm and harvest a drifting, swimming, never-ending nourishment, food enough to feed seven times the population of the Earth.
Sometimes the future seems so close at hand, you can almost taste it, or at least smell it. At the museum, I sampled the exhibit called Goldilocks and the Three Bears, the smelly version, which adds the long-absent olfactory dimension to children's literature. Really? Read and sniff? This is what we have to look forward to?
We have no idea what this is going to look like in 2020. I'm hoping, though, that these are just the beginnings of what's really coming. The future is here. It's just unevenly distributed.
Pretty good line.
And no sooner had he uttered it than I put on a set of Oculus Rift goggles and took in the documentary titled Clouds Over Sidra, a virtual reality film narrated by a young Syrian girl in Jordan's Za'atari refugee camp.
My name is Sidra. I am 12 years old. I am in the fifth grade. I am from Syria.
Directed by documentarian Chris Milk, it is a breathtaking, altogether immersive experience with a 360-degree view of the surroundings. Grim barracks in a dusty desert, grinding poverty, palpable hopelessness.
11 and 12-year-olds with headscarves on a blacktop playing soccer about next to me.
We have to play football quickly because there are so many kids waiting to play.
And just outside the fences of the blacktop, endless rows of metal barracks. And now I'm in one of those houses.
My mother makes sure we are all together for dinner.
Family of eight, sitting on a rug, eating dinner.
My teacher says the clouds moving over us also came here from Syria. Someday, the clouds and me are going to turn around and go back home.
That's where I got a little choked up. Yet, just as I surrendered to the raw emotion engendered by the virtual proximity, Melcher told me my experience is still rooted in storytelling's past.
That's an incredibly moving piece. But fundamentally, what are we doing? We're sitting watching a film. We're approaching that in the same way that they did when they invented the motion picture camera and they put it on a tripod and they filmed a play. What I'm really interested in, though, is not just the recording, but being able to place somebody in a position where they have the opportunity to have action. And I think you will learn so much more when you're faced with moral dilemmas, when you're faced with making decisions in that space. There's another level of learning that comes from being able to actually be in that experience. That's a really powerful next generation of storytelling.
Like video games or police shoot, don't shoot drills, or for that matter, Birdly over Manhattan.
So in exactly an analog to my dreams, whoa, I'm about to hit a, oh, ouch. Boom. I just crashed into some skyscraper.
True enough, there is nothing in the physical world that approximates that sensation. And I speak as a man who has twice parasailed drunk. But there is, of course, a comparable playground of the imagination. It's called the imagination, as triggered by, for one thing, reading. And so I confronted Melcher, positing that the words coming off the printed page still are deeper and richer and, in their way, more experiential than anything that you can feel and see and hear and touch in this Please See, Hear, Touch, and Feel museum. That's when he compared me to Socrates, although, you know, not in a good way.
And it's in the Phaedrus, where Socrates argues that this newfangled technology of the alphabet and papyrus are undermining our ability to memorize. And without the ability to memorize, we wouldn't know things well enough to be able to discuss them, to be able to debate them, and without that, we would never get to the truth of anything. And so he argued that this was going to be the end of human intelligence.
Okay, so Socrates, if you believe Plato, guessed wrong. And to Melcher's point, it's clear that clinging to the status quo is a losing proposition. Like it or not, future of storytelling-wise, the times, they are a-changing. And with those changes, perhaps the most impactful journalism ever created, along with, of course, cheap entertainment, demagoguery, propaganda, and certainly porn. After all, pick an age. Pick a medium. Isn't that always the story?
Technology can point the way to a future of limitless promise, but man must chart his own course into tomorrow, a course that frees the mind and the spirit as it improves the well-being of mankind.
That's it for this week's show. On the Media is produced by Kami Regler, Mira Sharma, Alana Casanova-Burgess, Jesse Brenneman, Kasia Mihailovich, and Sam Dingman. We had more help from Jenna Cagle, and our show was edited by Brooke. Our technical director is Jennifer Munson. Our engineer this week was Greg Rippon.
Katya Rogers is our executive producer. Jim Schachter is WNYC's vice president for news. Bassist composer Ben Allison wrote our theme. On the Media is produced by WNYC and distributed by NPR. I'm Brooke Gladstone.
And I'm Bob Garfield.
Support for On the Media comes from the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation, the Ford Foundation, the Overbrook Foundation, and the listeners of WNYC Radio.